Grace, mercy, and peace are all yours from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in today's Old Testament lesson, we see how God calls a man named Abram, later known as Abraham, to be someone special. He calls Abram to leave his land, leave his household, leave everything, and to just go where God tells him to go. He promises Abraham that he's going to make him into a great nation, that his kids will be as numerous as the stars in the sky, that he'll have his own promised land. And then he promises that all families of the earth, all of them, will be blessed through him. One man and his family. And if you think about it, that's an amazing promise. All families of the earth will be blessed through Abram and his family. Now, many people have gotten this amazing promise wrong. Many people didn't hear it correctly. They thought that only this man and his family would be blessed. The Jews in Jesus' day, in fact, claimed this. They believed that God loved them simply because they were the sons and daughters, the offspring of Abraham. So it must be that this Abe was a pretty good Abe. And it must be because if I'm the son or daughter of this pretty good Abe, that God must love me. And so God's grace then is limited to who your dad is, who your mom is, what your last name is. But that's not the case. In the New Testament, John the Baptist tells these Jews, his own people, because he's a Jew, he says, I know that you're the sons of Abraham, but I tell you, God can make sons of Abraham out of these rocks. In other words, it's not who your dad is. That's not why God blesses you or gives you his grace. Then if that's not good enough, Jesus comes along and tells the same Jewish leaders, I know that you claim to be the sons of Abraham, but you do not do the work of Abraham. Instead, you seek to kill me. Your God is not the same God of Abraham. If it were, if God were your father, Jesus said, you would love me. Whoever loves me hears my word and believes it. And then he throws in this beautiful promise, and he will not taste death. You see, Abraham was not special in and of himself. He came from ancient Babylon. His family worshipped the moon and the stars. And yet, in spite of that, God chose Abraham to be someone special. God chose Abraham to be the one through whom he would save all families. A promise through his family would save all families from sin and death, not because he was special, but rather simply because God's grace is special. God's grace is so special that it would cause a moon-worshipping pagan from Babylon to have faith in, to believe in, God's amazing promises. It would cause Abraham to get up and go and believe. All families of the earth, blessed just through this one man, at least through his family. It's an amazing promise if you consider it, especially in the context of the scriptural story, the narrative, right? Because just turn back a chapter or so ago, and we see that God had sent a global flood to destroy all the families of the earth except for one family, the family of Noah. It's sort of the reverse of what God does through Abraham. Abraham was only the 10th generation since Shem, the son of Noah. So how does this God go from destroying all nations except one, to now saving all families of the earth through one? We might assume that the human condition had now gotten better since the days of Noah. God was now going to show grace because humanity had finally gotten their act together. They were better than they were in the days of Noah. They were good, or at least pretty good. And that's how we show grace. If you're honest, if I'm honest with ourselves. When somebody treats us badly, we withhold our grace until they get their act together, right? Until they apologize, until they make up for it, until they behave better. Then we give them the candy, the kids, right? Then we do something nice for them. We show them grace. But that's not really grace. That's a reward, as St. Paul reminds us in the epistle lesson. If you earn something, that's a reward or a wage. If something's given without merit, that's grace. And grace is how God deals with people. God doesn't reward people with his love. He graces people with his love. Humanity had not gotten better in Abraham's day. Sin and death still rule the world as it had since Adam and Eve had taken the bite of that forbidden fruit. In fact, right after the flood, right after God puts the rainbow in the sky and saves Noah, and it's this beautiful scene, Noah plants a vineyard, makes grapes, makes wine, and gets drunk. And the next scene after that is the sons of Noah move to the plains of Shinar and build a great big tower. Why? Because they want to become God. We might assume that Abraham became good enough once God had called him. So God called him and then he got his act together. But that's not true either. If you look throughout the whole story of Abraham, once God calls him, Abraham struggles. His whole family struggles with their sinful nature. It's sort of a big mess. Abraham disobeys God's command at the very beginning. God said, leave everybody except your wife. And he takes his moon-worshipping dad and Lot, his nephew, who's not supposed to take them. Abraham questions God's promise over and over. He lies about his wife in fear for his life against foreign kings. He takes Hagar into his arms, trying to make God's promise come true. Abraham and his family must continue to rely on God's grace throughout their lifetime. Look at the sons of Jacob. They were terrible. They sell their brother into slavery. They did terrible things. They too must rely, generation and generation after Abraham, rely every day on God's grace. They show that in and of themselves, they are not special. They do not deserve God's grace. But God's grace, now that is special. All families of earth, blessed through this one man, Abraham, at least through his family, that's an amazing promise. And if you read through the story of Abraham, while Abraham is always fumbling God's promises and struggling with his sin, and while his family makes things even worse in their sin, God does something incredible. He blesses other nations through Abraham because of God's special grace. I mean, consider how God took the Egyptian maidservants, Hagar, and started a family. God ends up blessing Hagar and their son Ishmael. He makes Ishmael into a great nation. And even though Abraham takes Lot when he shouldn't take Lot with him, he blesses Lot with incredible wealth and spares Lot from five kings that wage war on him. And then he spares Lot and his daughters from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then you see how these Hittite men live around Abraham and become Abraham's friend. And God blesses them with great wealth and protection, all because of Abraham. You go a couple generations later and you see the 12 sons of Jacob. They do heinous things. They're terrible people. And yet God blesses Laban through Jacob. And God blesses all of Egypt and all of the world during probably the greatest famine of all time through the sons of Jacob. God blesses people in Abraham's lifetime all because God's grace is special. And it does incredible, miraculous things on this earth in spite of sin. But the farther we get away from Abraham and his family, throughout biblical history and world history, we see more war, more rage, more brutality, more greed, more lust for power, more lust. Kingdom rises against kingdom. we see more sin, more death, more disaster than ever. And more than ever, God's grace must grace the family of Abraham and all families of the earth through this family. All families blessed through this one man, Abraham, and his family. But the farther we get away from Abraham, the question becomes, how is this possible? How is this ever going to be reconciled? How is this ever going to happen? And the answer to that question, the question that every human of every tribe and nation has asked, how is God going to fix our problem? The answer to that question is in the gospel lesson today. It's found only in one man, from the family of Abraham for sure. In fact, it's the beloved son of Abraham through whom all of this is reconciled, through whom God brings his complete grace, his amazing grace. Not the beloved son Isaac, but rather the beloved son Jesus. Jesus, the son of Abraham, the son of God, fulfills all these promises made to Abraham. God so loved the world, the Gospel of John says. God so loved the world, not the sons of Abraham, but the world, all the families of the world, that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus fulfills these promises. Jesus is grace. Jesus is the gospel. And there is no message, there's no grace, there's no gospel outside of Jesus in the history of the world. I dare you to go find a story, a religion, a philosophy, a belief system where there is an almighty perfect God who forgives and graces his people in spite of their imperfection and in spite of their terrible sins that they commit. The promises that God made to Abraham's family are fulfilled in Jesus, and they are important for you today. The promises that God made to Abraham throughout his entire life point you to how God blesses you. I mean, just consider the almost sacrifice of Abraham's beloved son Isaac. Isaac, the beloved son of Abraham, God would call him when he's now 12 or 13 to sacrifice him. Why would God do that? Many people have questioned that for centuries. Why would God, a good God, call Abraham to sacrifice the promised son? And in this call to sacrifice, but yet God restraining Abraham from sacrificing, we see how God prepares Abraham and Abraham's family, and not just his family, but the entire world, to how God would sacrifice his beloved son, Jesus. Isaac couldn't pay for the sins of the world, but God would use that test to prepare all of us for Jesus. Because Jesus, not Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, could pay for the sins of the world, could conquer the powers of the devil and death. Isaac points us to somebody greater, Jesus. Because Jesus, like Isaac, would carry his own wood up the same mountain range. But Jesus, true Father, God the Father, did not provide a way out as he did for Isaac. God provided a ram to be slaughtered instead of Isaac, but God the Father would not provide a way out. Even when Jesus would ask for this cup to be removed, Jesus would carry his cross to its place, and he would sacrifice himself on the same mountain range for the sins of the entire world. And so today, God wants you to know that he has chosen you, like Abraham, to be someone special. Not to become someone special, but to be someone special. There is no becoming. You are special, not in and of yourself, but you are special in God's eyes, in a perfect, holy God's eyes, because his grace in Jesus is so special for you. God blesses you not because of who your mom or your dad are, or what your last name is, or what heritage you say you're from. God does not bless you simply because you call yourself a Christian, or because your name is on this or that membership roll, or because you were confirmed in this or that church. You can wave any piece of paper you want when you stand before God, but that's not why God blesses you. God blesses you only because of faith in one man, Jesus, the son of Abraham, the son of God, who was perfect for you. When this faith came to you, it came to you in the same way it came to Abraham. God simply spoke to Abraham and Abraham believed. God speaks to you, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you believe. He called you by name as well, and he placed his covenant into you as he did to Abraham. With Abraham, he did it with a cutting of a knife and the covenant of circumcision. God puts his covenant into you, not with a cutting done by human hands, St. Paul says, but by a circumcision of your heart done by the hands of Christ in your baptism. St. Paul, in a different letter, says, through baptism, you become the children of God, the true sons of Abraham. Because through baptism, you are clothed with the grace of Jesus Christ. You are wrapped and clothed in Jesus. You are the true sons and daughters of Abraham, the true sons and daughters of God, because God is gracious. Because God's grace is special. And God is not done with you. He continues to show grace to you each and every day of your life because you and I, our families, we continue, like Abraham, to struggle in this journey on earth with our sin, with our dying bodies, and against the powers of the devil. We live by grace every day. We need grace every day. We live by grace alone in Jesus Christ. And the God of Abraham alone can give us what we need through his son, Jesus. We, like Abraham, rely on God's grace. We doubt, we fall, we sin, we fail, and yet God continually comes to us and speaks his promises to us and picks us up again. We live by grace, not as a one-time thing given at our baptism, but as something to live in through our baptism. Not as a fact that we just cognitively acknowledge, but as a way of life. Grace is our life. It's the bread we must eat. It's the air we must breathe. It's the water we must be cleansed with, the medicine that must heal us as we walk in this world. And as God blesses us daily in this grace, in our journey on this earth as he did to Abraham and his family, as God graces us now in the fulfillment of this promise through Jesus Christ, the amazing thing is he blesses all the families of the earth in our presence. People around you, God places, whether they're actually blood relationships or friends or even your enemies, God graces them when he graces you to be around them. God has perhaps blessed you to bring food here for the Oasis Food Pantry, and people you may never meet eat. God may bless you to be a blessing for the Sparrow's Nest, to help a young woman who has no place to go raise her child. He might grace you to be an ear for somebody who's hurting, an encouragement for somebody who's going through treatment, a hope to somebody who has gone through a nasty divorce or through an abusive situation, a comfort for someone who has experienced great loss, or even as last night we experienced here at chapel the first time, a shelter for the homeless. God graces you, not because you're special, but because his grace is special in Jesus Christ, and he graces other people through that grace to you. This same God of Abraham had it in his mind to bless all people of all families of the earth. He has kept these promises. We know that by sending Jesus. God so loved Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God so loved you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. the Son of Abraham, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Believe in him. He is your grace. He is your blessing from this day forward and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.